Ghoulish greetings, everyone. Those tunes are courtesy of Fading Point, and I'm, of course, your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, evening, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from the Crescent City to Sin City, from Chi-Town to Georgetown, from desolate desert to tropical paradise, and you guessed it, everything in between, it is greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Udo Exeter, England. Cologne, Germany. Mankato, Minnesota. Le Grand Quiville, France. Fort White, Florida. And Springfield, New Jersey. Definitely need your passport for this one, my friends. So today I have five guests with me. You were recently introduced to the amazing band Fading Point in a recent episode. And they are here with me today to talk all things music. Just a little something about these amazing gentlemen so you know who you'll be hearing from. They are a band out of Arizona, one of my favorite states. Richard Thayer is Fading Point's drummer and has been with Fading Point since 2013. His influences are Joey Jordison and Jay Weinberg. Influenced by new metal and heavy metal genres, Mike Fabian is the singer of Fading Point, and his major influences are Korn and Nirvana, and one of the original members. Matt Crabb is a guitarist for Fading Point and is the newest member of the band. He's influenced by several metal subgenres. Tim Stinson also plays guitar, and he's been in the band for 16 years. His inspiration comes from a variety of music and several genres. And last but definitely not least, James Martinez is Fading Point's bass player with influences stemming from metal, punk, and alternative rock. He is one of Fading Point's founding members. So today I have with me Richard Thayer, the drummer, Mike Fabian, the singer, guitarist Matt Crabb and Tim Stinson, and the bassist James Martinez. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. I am so excited to learn more about Fading Point. I am so passionate about music and lately have had the pleasure the last 2 years to go to several concerts like 21 Pilots, Nothing More, Godsmack. This year alone, just in the few months, Morgan Wade, Bush, Shinedown, Vented, Static X, and Mudvayne. And I really hope to add Fading Point to that list.
Yeah,
be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys, so let's dive right in. Fading Point. Who came up with the name Fading Point, and what meaning does it have?
Mike, I think our original band name needed a bad change.
Very bad.
So we kind of opened it up to all the band members, and James and I were in that original.
Tim, you were there too.
Yeah.
At the very end of that.
Yeah. So we put up a bunch on a board and kind of voted. We had things like Five Knuckle Friday.
Nice.
Donkey Punch and some other stuff. Fading Point, I threw up on the board and we kind of just voted on it and that one kind of won.
That's awesome. No, that's great. Those are some creative names. Donkey Punch.
that member's no longer in the band.
Well, that kind of reminds me of like the Key and Peele skits when they're doing the NFL and the guy's like donkey teeth.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet and how long have you been in a band? I know some of you 16 years, some longer. It's like, that's amazing.
Yeah, so Mikey and I have been in the band for a long time. So he used to work at the Harley shop here in town before corporate bought Harley. So it was a franchise. And we caught word that Mike was a singer. So we tried him out right when we were... So we probably had 5 songs when we had Mike come out. So we had some of the music developed already. And then Mike came out and kind of knocked it out. So he put lyrics to all of it.
That's awesome. No, I love that. And it's neat that, you know, you guys have stayed together for so long. You know, there's so many bands out there that break up and then come back together, break up and do something else. And that's totally okay. That's fine, obviously. But it's refreshing when it's like, you know, you guys stay together. And so kudos to that. I know it's no easy feat sometimes.
Sometimes you've had to work through some stuff for sure.
Let's be honest, it's a lack of options.
Oh, you guys. So I have questions for all of you guys. So Mike, you are the voice for Fading Point, the singer. When in life did you start singing? And when did you realize you wanted to sing, that you liked to sing?
So, I mean, you know, I've done like choir and stuff as a kid and all that stuff, but as far as being in like a full-blown band and being a singer, this is my first. So I kind of jumped in with these guys and really kind of took off. I'd done some like classic rock and things like that before this, but, you know, a more modern style, more aggressive, and with a wider audience range, this definitely would be a first for me.
That's awesome. No, that's great for sure. And I am no singer for sure, but I do love singing. And like, I always have to make fun of myself because I have my episodes and there's certain ones, like if I'm doing a prison song, like a prison episode, I'll sing the prison blues. And I always had to have the kid afterwards saying, yep, there's a reason why I'm not a singer, but I do it anyways. But
having fun.
Yeah, that's right. So Rich, Matt, James, and Tim, you guys are the men behind the music. What made you choose your specific instruments? And were you a child when this all happened?
Rich, why don't you go first?
Me, I started back in the day, back in elementary school. You know, everybody starts with trumpets or clarinets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to start out with that first. And I was like, this ain't for me. So he put me back in the drum. It was just a bass drum and a snare. Ever since then, it took off to middle school, high school, and it kept going. But I quit quite a few years back when, you know what I mean? And then playing in the band, you know, when I saw these guys, and then they're like, hey, you want to come drum? I was like, no, I'm already in another band, you know what I mean? So that the recent band that I was in, broken up, and then I was like, we still got something up if you want. I was like, okay, I'll dive in. And then 13 years later, here I am with them.
Never look back, huh? That's awesome. Love it.
Yeah. I've been playing guitar since I was 16. It was always something I wanted to do. It was always something I admired, and, you know, I decided, you know, like every other kid, I wanted to be a rock star. So I admired people like Kurt Cobain, Zach Wild. I like a wide array of stuff, but I've been playing since I was 16. I've been doing the band thing since I was about 21. I didn't play my first show until I was 28. I was in a different band playing the same show as these guys.
Mm.
And they just had, that member, they did, you know, the aforementioned member just left. So, you know, they had a spot for me. So I've been here ever since.
Oh, that's perfect. Way cool. That's neat how it kind of worked out like that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
When I was a kid, we didn't have cable. So I listened to the radio all day. And we weren't allowed to go out and run around the neighborhood. My parents were really strict. So I listened to my sister's tapes or the radio. And I used to bounce around my bed pretending I was in Def Leppard playing with a tennis racket at like 9, 10 years old for Guns N' Roses. Because that's what was out at the time. And then like fifth grade, I started playing trumpet. And then in ninth grade, they had a basic guitar class. So I learned basic strumming and basic chords. And I would just learn stuff by listening to it. And then moved to Arizona, moved out here. Had a friend of a friend that knew James. Went to a couple band practices with them, hung out. Became friends with the guy that used to be the other guitar, one of the other players in our band. And I jammed with him a couple times because their riffs were a lot like the stuff I would just make up in my room. And me and that guy got along really, really well. And then when the one guy left, I tried out. I got back from a work trip. They gave me a CD. And like 2 days later, we played like, what, 4 songs?
Yes, 3 or 4 songs.
One thing I didn't know how to do was do the solos. But I pretty much figured out 4 songs in 2 days.
Nice.
So they're like, well, this will work. If he puts in this much work, it'll work. And I'm still here since 2009.
That's awesome. And that's really impressive that you, in that short amount of time, you're able to do that, you know, so that's...
Well, it wasn't like super complicated. It was really groovy heavy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some of the stuff I was playing totally different from the way that they played it, because I just figured it out by listening. So once I realized, oh, you plan it like this, well, that's actually easier than what I was thinking it was. And then it was just changing it around a little bit.
No, I love that. That's awesome. And that's cute, you jumping on the bed as a little kid and, you know, pretending.
You're asking, like, literally, I listened to the radio all day. We didn't have cable, so you could only watch, like, I Love Lucy and Dick Van Dyke or soap operas. I'm not watching Days of Our Lives as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I dig Lucy, but yeah, no Days of Our Lives, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the General Hospital.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my sister
is Santa Barbara.
My sister had control of TV, so I'd rather be in my room bouncing around listening to music pretending like I'm at the stadium.
Well, you know, it's like that same pot of coffee decades later, still sitting in the background. It's like, okay.
You never outgrow it. It's so much fun. Like, we can play a show in front of 5 people, and I still have the time of my life. It's a blast.
No, that's so awesome.
It, I'm having fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, like when I go to the concerts, I just like the atmosphere of the people. They're so stoked and excited. And it's like, I could only imagine being on stage and seeing that, you know, that's really, that must be really rewarding. You know, like you said, whether it's just a handful of people or just like a huge crowd or sold out, you know, I bet just every single one is different and amazing in their own ways.
Absolutely.
What about you, Jander?
So, again, just like Richard and Tim, I started out in elementary school playing trumpet, learned how to read music. I got my first guitar in middle school, and I started off as a guitar player. And the first time I kind of played it, it didn't really catch on, so it stayed in the case for about a year. And then my second year of middle school, I broke it out again, and things just kind of came naturally. I started playing guitar religiously after that. And then I moved to Seattle when I was 17, or in Western Washington, and got into an alternative rock band up there. And so we started doing a bunch of shows in the 90s, which was really cool because I kind of bumped elbows with a few people, which was kind of cool. And moved back here in 2006, and then met a group of guys that wanted to form a band in about 2007, 2008, I think we formed. And everybody in Southern Arizona is like a guitar player.
Yeah.
Nobody plays bass. So, and I had bought a bass rig off a buddy in Washington, and I had a bass rig and I was playing, you know, a little bit of bass. I was like writing bass lines and then writing guitar parts over them. I was like, I have a bass rig, so I'll play bass. So that's kind of how I became a bass player for Fading Point. Is like I said, everybody plays guitar. Nobody had a bass or played bass, so I just did it.
That's cool. That's awesome. And that's neat that you were in Seattle, where a lot of people are from in the music industry, you know, and like you said, you got to talk to a lot of people and meet a lot of people that way. Okay, so who writes the lyrics? Is it like one sole person, or is it kind of like the Beatles where you guys all get involved and write your own stuff?
You know, pretty much Mikey develops and writes
the lyrics. That part.
Yeah, I mean, the guys pitch in when I need a line or two or a better word or
ideas.
Or an idea or a melody. But yeah, but most of the actual work, you know, lyric writing, I do myself.
Nice. Very awesome. So, gentlemen, do you have a process? Mike, do you have a process for writing lyrics, and you guys for the instrumentals?
Matt, take this one, man. It's kind of a division of labor. It starts off with a meter, 10 gear. We'll come up with a riff, and then just everything will kind of form around that, you know. We'll have the drums and the bass kind of following suit, and then Mike will put some lyrics and a melody to it. But we kind of, well, you know, me, Tim, and James kind of take care of the music side. And as far as creating goes, all four of us, you know, just in our respective instruments.
Yeah.
So it's like music and then Mike with the vocals and the lyrics.
Usually it's a melody, and then you got to figure out lyrics to fit the melody to words.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And sometimes
it's hard to do that sometimes.
Yeah. So sometimes Mike won't like. a certain, so he'll like most of a song, but not like a certain, like the chorus say. So we're like five.
Here we go.
Hold on. When you
here we go.
When you listen to the song "Suffocate," that song almost got shelved. That was like number five or six chorus.
Yeah, we wrote like six choruses to that song before Mike was happy with one and wrote lyrics to it. So everything was fine except like the chorus. We went through like six. Maybe more.
That's our show ending song because it just hits and then it just stops.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a killer song, though. That's one of my favorites.
So sometimes the process works itself out, but sometimes it's not real. Sometimes a song will just like write itself in a matter of minutes, and sometimes we got to work on a song for like months before it's
like set to actually get it to where we want it.
Wow.
I think the fastest one on this. We wrote that years ago. We're just re-recording it.
Probably
Dreaming. We wrote in like one sitting.
Nothing to hide.
Well, EP pretty much came into that.
I kind of remember song.
Yeah, The Gray was quick.
Yeah, The Gray was quick. So yeah, some songs, just like I said, they just write themselves, and it's just like from beginning to end, it's just like that almost immediately.
We just have that mindset, you know, being together for so long. You know, I mean that we all click together, like.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll have three out of the four pieces, and then the third piece will take a while to like hash out and work out.
No, that's
the
neat.
The ones that just boom, done.
Yeah, we come in and
except for
just all start playing into it. It's like, okay, this works. Let's go.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And like you said, you guys have been doing this for so long. It just is kind of organic. And I love like hearing all this because it's kind of like behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah. We do hack a lot of parts.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so sorry.
When was the first time each of you went on stage for anything, and how nervous were you at that point, like that very first time?
James, go ahead.
So the first time I actually played in front of people was it was in Seattle. We used to play Gibson's. We used to play a monthly show in Woodinville, which was our paid show. It was our only show. We make like $300, and that paid for like all our band stuff.
Hmm.
But I was probably maybe 22. When I first took a stage at one of the bars in Seattle. We used to play Ballard Firehouse a lot. There's some really cool venues there back in the 90s.
That's awesome. Were you nervous?
Yeah, the first couple times I was nervous, and then after maybe four or five times on stage, you just don't get nervous anymore. You just want to do the best you can.
I hear you. That's great. Yeah.
It's still exciting, so you still get like a little adrenaline rush before, even now, before like, you know, playing. Yeah, I wouldn't call it nervous anymore.
Yeah, no, totally. That's totally different. Yeah, it's nice to have that adrenaline, you know.
Like the build-up comes and then it goes.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. It's just because people are there to watch you. There's that little bit of, I wouldn't say nervousness. It's more like the adrenaline like James is talking about. But even if it is nerves, like, it goes away within about 20 to 30 seconds and you're just grooving.
Yeah.
Like, I would get, like, when I first started playing with these guys, I would have like full on headaches, like, oh my God, right before we go on. My head would be pounding really and I'd be nervous. Not anymore.
Yeah, Mike, when did you take stage?
My first time on a stage, I was not in a band. I did a Elvis Presley contest and won it singing Hound Dog.
Really?
Yeah. when I was 13 years old, I wore a leather jacket and tight ass jeans, and I had my hair slicked back. And then I got to take that to our local high school auditorium. They did like a singer, like a showcase of singers from the 50s and 60s, and I got to go on stage with the Elvis impersonator to do a raffle.
Were you dressed as Elvis?
I was dressed as Elvis.
Oh, nice.
So that was the first time I ever went on stage.
Okay, Mike, so I have to ask you now, do your best Elvis impersonator.
Oh, my God, Hound Dog. Okay. Hey, some Hound Dog.
Come on, Hound Dog.
Yeah,
that's
like
that. Oh, you ain't.
Come on, Mike.
Okay. He's not going to do it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that band I was in before I was talking about, I was in a death metal cover band. Mm. And, you know, like, it's a fun thing to do, like, in the garage. We get together, you know, we have some drinks, you know, we play some metal. But it's like, how am I going to be received in front of people? So that's the thing I was nervous about. So there's this other band called We Are Nemesis that kind of heard us and wanted us to play a show with them at this local bar, the Sorry Gulch, or used to be the Sorry Gulch that we have here in town. And yeah, that encompassed my whole week. Like, I can't believe, looking back, I can't believe how nervous I was to play on that little ass stage.
Yeah, it was
in front of like 20 people.
And it had a stripper pole. If you played live at the Sorry Gulch back in the day, the stage was tiny and there was a stripper pole in the way. So if you weren't paying attention, you'd like whack your guitar or like bang your head against a stripper pole.
We were so nervous about this. We were so, you know, just, you know, nerve-wracked about it that we actually canceled the show because the last Saturday that we had to practice before the show, my singer, Chris, showed up hungover, or he was hungover. He didn't even show up. I'm like, well, that was our last day to, you know, work on the songs. And, you know, like their songs, because we told the manager that we'd fill like a certain amount of time. And there are songs that we couldn't play because we couldn't work on them that day. So we had to nix a couple songs, which means our time would have been, you know, cut shorter. So I'm like, oh, well, shit, we got to cancel the show then. We got to tell them we can't play.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's always the singer, bro.
The guitarist for We Are Nemesis reaches out to me. He's like, well, if you want to piss off the manager, then, you know, don't show up. Otherwise, you know, just play what you got. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, we got through it. And, yeah,
you guys did really
it was
good.
A good show. Yeah, thank you. Looking back, yeah, like I said, I can't believe how nervous I was, as nervous to play on that little ass stage for like 15 people as I was to play at the Rialto where we did, you know, later on.
So, Richard's from the Wild Wild West. He grew up in Tombstone. He lives in Tombstone.
Yes, Tombstone. Woo!
my guess is the first time he took a stage was in Tombstone.
Yep. I played with, like I say, my first band, actually band, with my called Axiom back in the day, you know what I mean? We used to, so I'm really not nervous, you know what I mean? But it's just adrenaline, you know what I mean? That gets you when you're ready to play live, but you don't want to mess up, you know what I mean? But just playing at the Dragoon Saloon, you know what I mean? There's open mic, you know, go down there after work and play drums, you know, in front of people.
That when a drummer gets an adrenaline rush, they play a song like two or three times as fast as it should be.
Yes,
but Richard does pretty good, so we haven't had that issue so much with Richard. But drummers, when they get excited, they're like Speedy Gonzalez on the drums. It's like they just take off. It's like full speed ahead.
It was like you're going normal, but on their side, it's
exactly.
Like, oh, my bad. You know,
every song turns into bubble wrap.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you know, like on Step Brothers at the end of the movie, when Del's doing that drum solo.
Yeah, I loved it.
And he's like, boats and hoes. And his dad's like, drum the shit out of those drums, Del. <It's> like, So every time I'm listening.
Going too fast, my mic starts passing out.
Oh, no.
Running out of breath in a verse.
It's like we had our first CD release party 10 years ago. You know what I mean? I know we were cruising on that one pretty fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, say it's adrenaline. You know, I mean, you don't realize that you're doing it.
Yeah, that's
you're
true.
So you watch the video.
So you watch.
Yeah.
Is this shit on double speed?
Yeah.
It's like, no. I thought that song was like 5.5 minutes. How do we do that?
No, it feels like a fucking chipmunk.
Oh, man. So how often do you guys practice before you feel ready for a show? I know you said certain songs take more time.
But I have a job that takes me out of state quite often.
Yes, the team's gone a lot.
I'm gone a lot. Like, I'm leaving on Saturday. I don't get back till Halloween, and then we have a show the next day.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm gone.
So we typically try to practice 2 times a week, which we're pretty faithful at. We pretty much get together twice a week. We don't typically add any extra practices before a show. like I said, so Tim's gone a lot. You know, we all have jobs and lives, so you know, can't always get together when you know, every single time. But we try to do our best. I think we're ready for this one.
We've been riddled with injuries. Mike got hit by a bus. I broke my neck.
I shattered my hip.
Shattered his hip. He had both of his eyes messed up.
Yeah, I was out for a while.
Retinas.
COVID, all that stuff.
Yeah,
everything.
COVID hit, nothing was happening.
Wait, okay.
So we've definitely had like some dry spells here and there because of just like, you know, life.
So who was hit by a bus? What? And you're still alive?
Mike was rear-ended by a bus.
And my kids were on the bus.
Tim's kids were on the bus.
What? No!
It was a school bus.
They fell off their seats onto the floor.
Yeah.
They get home, they're like, our school bus hit a guy today.
Yeah,
and I was getting a call from Mike going, dude, I got hit by a school bus. I was like, no shit, my kids were on the bus.
Oh my god, that's horrible. And I heard broken bones. Well,
the bus driver used to stop last second all the time, so he was an old dude.
Yeah, I was at a red light. And he plowed into the back of me doing 55 miles an hour.
No way. Wow. That must have been scary.
Like a full, fully loaded up. My oldest son was that was actually quite a while back, but still, he's still injured from that. Like,
oh, man.
Yeah, I got a bum hit.
Not as bum as mine.
That's true. James's hip shattered.
I did. It shattered my hip. It was bad.
Well, geez, you know, if you just wear, like, a cowboy get-up and use a cane, you'll fit right in Tombstone.
Right?
I had a cane. We almost did a show with me in a throne because I couldn't walk.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fuzzy. Yeah.
Well,
I literally couldn't walk for months. We had to cancel practices for a long time.
Yeah, so even most of the time when, like, we can't get together as a group, you know, the remaining members that are available will get together. Like, a lot of times Rich and I are out here, we'll just hang out, you know, because we're still friends.
Oh, we have a karaoke.
We have karaoke nights. I'll start up the recording rig in the studio.
We'll have karaoke nights.
Yeah, we'll put headphones on and we'll be like, Aqua's Barbie Girl.
Biscuit, all sorts.
And then Rich is really good at making up his own lyrics to songs.
He's great.
So, So I'll record us, like, doing karaoke. It's hilarious.
Well, you said Barbie Girl. That is hilarious.
I love that. Aqua's the best.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall, okay?
I'm on this podcast being berated right now.
No, you're not. No, it's all good.
If I find a band that's a mix between Aqua and Korn, it would be the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Maybe a little Rammstein.
What genre would be that?
I don't even know.
I think there's a Japanese band, the girls. The
baby metal.
Baby metal.
Yeah, but they're not as cool. Like, I want something like industrial.
All kidding put aside, I'm really glad that all of you guys are, like, okay and semi-recovering, because you guys all look good, and I'm sorry that you all went through that. Jeez, it's like...
No, we're just unlucky fucks. That's the problem. You know, some of it's self-inflicted, some of it's just accidental.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, like, we're just, like, I guess we've got to drink more milk. Our bones suck.
Oh, man. Yeah, so during COVID, you could get airfare for, like, I could fly to Washington State for, like, under $100 round trip. So I was flying there every other month. I went up there for vacation. I was just supposed to spend, like, 4 or 5 days there, and my retina detached in one of my eyes. It was my second one. So I had surgery there, and I couldn't come home for 2 months. And I broke my fibula in a weird accident, which I won't get into the details because it's kind of a long story. So I came back. But I was all messed up. I was in a boot and on crutches. I came back all messed up. My friends thought I was going to die there. They're like, we got to come get you.
Yeah, sounds kind of like Frankenstein.
Last couple of years. Yeah, really. Ever since COVID, like, things were smooth as hell right before COVID hit. And then COVID hit and, like, everything just changed. The world went upside down. Like, everybody's health kind of took a dump. And I just think that's because, like, people weren't going outside as much. Weren't interacting, like, morale was low. And I mean, you know, once your mental state kind of drops, so does your health. And I think I think things have flipped back around, which is awesome.
I agree. Things are getting back to normal, you know, some normalcy in there. And it was really weird for a while and for too long. And, you're right. It seems that there were like more freak accidents and different things happening and a lot of depression going on. And so, yeah, glad we're out of that funk.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, I'm a paranormal investigator, and throughout the years of investigating the unknown and unexplained, I have my favorite locations and investigations. Like, I love my asylums, my sanitariums. I just love all of those different types of things. You know, the ones that really stand out. So, for you guys, what's the show for you that really stands out, like your ultimate favorite? What was the best show you've ever done, and where was it at?
So I think we could unanimously agree that we opened up for Buck Cherry at the Rialto in Tucson, and that was probably our best show we've done.
Yeah, I agree. As far as how we sounded and played, absolutely.
Mikey might disagree here, but
the funnest show we actually did, where it was like kick-ass, was our CD release party. We had way more people with Phil Wright. That place was packed.
Yeah, I'd say our CD release show.
Seriously.
But as far as how we played and sounded, it was Buck Cherry. Like, there's differences in that. Like,
I think energy-wise and crowd, I mean, we packed an entire hotel ballroom. We had, like, we flew in our own stage and lightings and sound for our CD release show.
The radio station came out.
We had the radio stations live.
Mike works for the radio station.
So yeah. Gotta use your connections. But the CD release show, I think, as far as energy and just the sheer amount of people, like, it was just a sea of people, which was awesome. But I agree with James and Tim. I think sound-wise, the Rialto has such an incredible sound system, and they are professional, top-notch. So huge shout-out to them, by the way. If they ever hear this podcast, the Rialto is an amazing place to play. Yeah.
That's awesome. You said that's in Tucson?
Yeah, it's an old like actual theater. So like the where you stand to watch the bands, the floor is sloped.
It's just like the Paramount in Seattle. Portland has a theater that's just like it. They're all designed the same.
Yeah. And they have a balcony and all that.
And a balcony.
With a balcony. Uh-huh.
You know, the red velvet drapes and everything. Like, it's amazing venue. And it's right in the heart of downtown.
Oh, yeah. It's right off Congress.
Yeah. So it's pretty badass.
But that Buck Cherry show was supposed to happen on November 24th, 2020.
Before COVID.
Yeah, COVID. Before the show, I was actually getting my hair cut. One of my coworkers called me and was like, hey, man, sorry about the show. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
It went into COVID.
Oh, the Rialto was posted on Facebook. They're closed down.
Yeah, so they closed down for COVID. And so.
And then Buck Cherry rescheduled three times. So we didn't even play until like 2022.
December of 2022. Yeah.
Yeah. So wow. It went like 2.5 years before we actually got to play that. So like a lot of people that originally planned on coming, like they couldn't go in December. They had stuff going on.
It was still great.
It was still great though. I mean, don't get me wrong.
It was packed. It was fun.
Rich's drums sounded like they were the biggest stadium ever. Like, it was incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right, that kick drum, it just hits you in the chest.
Yeah, we can feel it even from the stage, like even on the stage monitors, it was just like bumping. It was awesome.
Well, it sounds epic. I'm sure you guys are looking forward to performing there again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
after being together as a band for so long, be honest, do you guys fight like brothers sometimes?
Yeah. Only when alcohol is involved.
Not recently.
But, or somebody shows up like no,
yeah.
So we've definitely gone through our turmoil spots for like here and there. But, like recently, everything's good. We managed to work out our like all that out. I think we're good from here on out. But yeah, there's been a few spots where yeah, we just haven't got along.
Well, I mean, it happens, right? Like
yeah,
you know, different. You have five different opinions in one room. You know, obviously we're all. We have a shared goal, but at the same time, getting there is different. So sometimes that creates a little friction, and you have to blow off some steam, right? We've never raised a hand at each other, but
yeah,
you know, we've said some strong words and things like that. But then we go to bed and wake up in the morning to apologies in the group chat.
Yeah.
So that's always how it's been.
That's why we're still here today. You know what I mean? Because. We're like brothers, like almost like family kind of deal, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, I've known a lot of bands that they just don't get along on a personal level and the band just shreds itself apart. We're all pretty good friends, like I would say like family almost. It's better than friends. So, yeah, we might like fight like brothers, but like Mike said, in the end, it's like apologies and everything tends to work itself out. We love each other and it's not.
Yeah.
I think the greatest thing is when there's drinks involved, and we all start arguing about politics, but we're all on the same side of the fence. So we're arguing with each other about points that each other are making, which is the greatest thing ever, because it's like, I just said that. And it's like, well, fuck no, you didn't. You said it this way. They mean the same thing. Well, fuck you. Fuck you. And then we leave for the night. And the next day it's like, hey, I love you, buddy.
That is hilarious. That's so funny. Well, no, I love that. And you know what? It's true. Like even the bestest of friends fight sometimes. It's just natural. It'd be unnatural if you guys were together for so long, for so many hours doing this and traveling and everything and not have a single argument. That would be weird. So no, that makes sense. But that is funny when you guys are like talking, like you said, about politics and you all agree about something, but you start that's
argue
funny.
About anyway. Still argue about it anyway. Yeah, it's great.
That is great. I love that. What has kept you guys together as a band for so long? I'm sure it's the spawn that you guys have. And beer.
You get out of here.
The camaraderie is actually really good. We're all a relatively laid-back group of guys, so it's a pretty comfortable space, you know.
It's almost like our getaway from everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we've been together for so long, I think we all know where everybody's gonna go. Even when we're writing a song, I know when, like, if it's a brand new song we're just writing, I know where Matt's gonna change or Tim's gonna change. You just know. I like, we've been together for so long, I know you can just read the room, right?
That happens, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what these guys are talking about. I have Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. No, he just goes home and writes lyrics.
Well, I know if Matt comes in with some crazy riff and I'm looking at him like, dude, I can't fucking play that. Then I got to step back and go, how can I make this? What can I do to add to this? And just like to add on to it, but not play the exact same thing. Because to me, just two guitars playing the same thing all the time is really boring.
Yeah. So honestly, the music keeps us together and the friendship like solidifies that whole like.
And me and Matt are really good at bouncing both off each other. So
I just go along.
I've had more fun writing music with him than I did before he was here quite a bit. It's been a rewarding process. Speaking as like the newest member of the band, you know, this band's like my first real experience, like in a lot of stuff. You know, writing my own songs, you know, playing like actual, like, you know, big shows. It's all been pretty, like I said, rewarding.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I could see that totally. So for my Arizona people and surrounding states listening, I have a lot of people from those areas. For those who are interested, what shows do you guys have coming up? Talk a little bit, if you will, about November 1st.
Yeah, so it has been a decade since we've released the CD. So November 1st, we are sharing the stage. James is in another band, a band called Vibra. We recorded their CD here at the same time we were recording ours. So we're doing a dual CD release show.
Ooh.
So November 1st is going to be a huge party. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. So if you didn't know, we're actually in a recording studio. Our band practice is a recording studio. It's full blown. So Mikey runs the studio.
It used to be my garage. It used to be Tim's garage.
It used to be. We took it over. But yes, so November 1st, we're releasing a CD. We're having a double CD release party. We're being joined by our friends from Tucson, Los Perros, and our friends from here, a sign band called Fuzz Evil is going to close the show. So we're playing in the middle, and then we're going to deal with just like selling merch. So we got t-shirts and beer signs and shot glasses and CDs. So it's going to be kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
That sounds like a big deal.
And it's free for anybody that wants to show up.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I love that. That's incredible. As everybody knows, concerts can get really fucking expensive, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Just the ticket alone, and then forget about buying an $18 beer and all of this. So it's like, if you could get in for free, then you could afford that $18 beer.
Well, actually, beers, the domestics, they're only $3.
Yeah.
Okay, that is...
Come on down, we'll have merchandise. That's how we make our money.
Yeah.
They can come out for free and buy their shirts.
$3, they can grow trip.
I know, right? I know. That's what Rich kept saying,
yeah,
road trip.
The ones that we have on, and then we got some really cool ones that are coming out.
That is so cool. Okay, guys, so November 1st, they are throwing this huge big bash, this big concert, and it is for free. Several bands performing, $3 beers. They're going to have a ton of merch. And what time and where is this happening again?
So we're advertising 7:30. Start of the showtime. So Los Perros is going to open the show. This really good band from Tucson. And PC's Lounge, I want to say it's at 1300 Highway 90 here in Sierra Vista. It's just past the Fry's grocery store on the right-hand side if you're heading out of town. You're on Highway 90.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay, guys. So for those listening and who are interested in this, I will get the address and I will put it in the descriptions. Because seriously, if I were in the area, I would definitely go. I was just in Arizona. And I have a lot of things back to back, so I won't be able to go. But you guys who are around in the area need to go for me, seriously. And I'm still like mind blown, $3 beers. Like I'm in shock right now.
So the address is 4700 AZ Highway 90, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85635.
Okay, I'm going to have you.
4700 AZ Highway 90.
Okay. No, that's good to know. I'm going to have you send that to me and I will put it, you know, so then they could copy and paste it into their GPS, go there and have a great time.
Yeah, it's really easy to get to.
Very cool. No, I love that.
Yeah, lots of parking in the back.
That's nice.
That's important though.
I didn't realize why until I got the second.
Yeah,
you can fit a lot of people in that place.
Yes.
That's where we're going.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so excited for you guys. That'll be great. And it's always fun getting some merch and you know, that's awesome for sure. So talk about your new album. Where and when can we get that new album?
So four of the songs currently on the album are available on streaming sites. So Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple, iTunes, all that stuff. The album you could pick up at the show. That'll be the official release date. And then shortly after that, it'll be available on our web store, along with all of our merchandise.
Perfect. So yeah, everybody, just so you know, we just talked about the new album and throughout this episode, the music you are hearing is just the tiniest of teasers. So I don't know about you guys, but music to me was and is just so therapeutic. When I'm in a funky mood or feeling super down, there are songs that just get me out of that funk, like literally a lifesaver for me was Soundgarden. I loved Chris Cornell so bad. I cried when he died, went to visit his grave so many times since. And, you know, as a kid, though, I would just throw on Chris Cornell and he, along with Linkin Park, just kind of got me through some really dark times as a kid. So who is your Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington? Who got you through the hard times?
I just listened to Linkin Park, you know, because Chester was my my new singer when they came out in that time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was all the music that they wrote, you know what I mean? Even like today, their last album, you know what I mean? It's like just everything, you know what I mean? You really go back and listen to everything, you know what I mean? The stuff that he's been through and all that he wrote, you know what I mean? It's just like...
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like you said, we all have our times, you know, by ourselves in our own head, you know? Like we lose somebody or just going through, you know, anything, you know what I mean? It's just their music. It just lifts you up kind of deal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Listen, all I got all different kinds, you know what I mean? The hard music, soft music, or whatever, you know, because, I don't know, I'm just all around.
For sure.
But Chester Bennington, that's my guy, like, yeah.
Yeah, that was sad when he, well, you know, him and Chris Cornell both totally fucked up situations, and very, very sad, for sure, that both great guys, great music.
Yeah. I think Aqua got me through some tough times.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, really good place. Oh, I was really down. there's a lot of. I mean, God, there's just so much I listen to.
Besides Aqua.
I've got like a Softy Boy playlist on my Apple playlist. But it's like a lot of folk rock and stuff like that. Yeah, like. I'm so glad I discovered when I did Alice in Chains and Soundgarden. There was such a breath of fresh air to, you know, what I had to listen to at the time. And yeah, Chris Cornell just, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Put me in a good place.
I hope you got Slipknot gets me through it.
I don't have specific music that ever got me through anything. The stuff I loved when I was a teenager, Alice in Chains. I really love Guns N' Roses. I always have since I was like 9 years old. But now, like when I'm driving, I can't listen to really heavy stuff anymore. Like I get too aggravated and then I get real ragey.
Oh, really?
So I listen to the stuff I listen to now. I'll put on YouTube music and I'll just put in like The Cure and just listen to whatever comes on after that. And just I have to relax when I'm driving or if I'm really stressed out. I can't listen to heavy, angry music. I have to listen to stuff that calms me down instead of gets me amped up. But I don't think there was really anything specific, like, through hard times. I don't think there was anything, so I can't think of anything specific that I would just put on.
Yeah.
As I've gotten older, like, I can't drive and listen to, even our music sometimes I can't listen to when I'm driving. Because I have to be calm. Because I'm always driving at work. I'm always on the road. So, like, I'm driving all day long.
Yeah.
In heavy traffic everywhere.
No, so,
I have to calm down. I can't ramp up, you know, or I'll kill people.
Right.
I think I know where Mike's going to be, though, with this one. But
go ahead, Chandler.
So, hard times is kind of weird because I'm always pretty even keel even during the hard times. So, it that's a tough one. But anywhere from, like, Queensryche to The Cure really, really does it. I know this sounds weird, but Tori Amos a lot. John Evans, her bass player, I try to emulate quite a bit. The bass player for Tori Amos is absolutely incredible. So his bass style is absolutely amazing to me. There's so much. Like Enya, when I'd like to go to sleep, because that'll put you to bed real quick.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of all over the place. Like alt rock, Audioslave, like the Chris Cornell stuff was really good. I really like kind of that stuff. Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, because you said Tori Amos, I want to say Natalie Merchant's actually,
I was just listening to Natalie Merchant the other day. Some amazing stuff.
She actually, just a lot of her stuff got me through some hard times in my head. So, I mean, that's another one that
Annie Lennox is walking on broken glass.
All right, Mike, you're last.
It's Aqua, man. No, definitely Korn.
Yeah.
Korn, Nirvana. I was a huge Nirvana fan growing up. Like, I was in a Nirvana cover band for a long time. Like, I loved Nirvana.
Nice. And
Korn, when I started getting a little older, like getting into my teenage angst years, and the song Faggot probably was the best internal emotional turmoil song.
That's a great song.
You know, that generation. So
yeah. I think
those, you know, the In Utero album from Nirvana and Faggot by Korn were probably the most hard hitting for me growing up.
Yeah. No, I love Korn too. Like, they were always one of my favorite bands. I got to see them 10 years ago in Pueblo, and they were amazing. And yeah, I love that song too. Clown's a good one too. Like, just so many good ones. But it's funny, somebody mentioned Slipknot. This is my 25-year-old Slipknot there, but
I've seen them like 9 times.
Really? That's so awesome. No, it's funny because, like, I'm like, I love Slipknot, but then I also really could listen to the Beatles, and I love, like, all different types of music, not just one. And so it is interesting. Like, my sister used to laugh at me because she would walk in, and back in the day when I would smoke my cigars, I'd be sitting there smoking a cigar watching Golden Girls. I'm like, I don't care.
That's a little hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, you know, it's like
the rerun on Saturdays after Roseanne.
I love Golden Girls. I could watch them all day. Like, you know, Calling Blanche a Tramp, and you just, like, you know, they did stuff and said stuff back then that you can't today without people getting super offended. So I love going back into the good days.
No, you're totally right about that. I wish comedy could just go back to where it was, when you could just tell a joke and people would laugh at it without being so offended. It's comedy. It's not meant to be offensive. You got to have a sense of humor.
Well, and even if it is offensive, ignore it and get over it. You know, there's so many people who let it ruin their day.
To be offended.
Yeah, most comedy is offensive, and that's what makes it funny. It's not normal. It challenges you. I mean, comedy is supposed to be that, like that.
Well, there's literally some people that you can put a picture of a puppy online and they will get offended. They will find a reason to be offended over that puppy. And it's crazy.
Don't let it ruin your day. So this next question is actually our final question, and it kind of probably goes hand in hand with the one that I just asked about, like the emotional, you know, part. Is there a certain song that is special to you that makes you think of someone who is no longer here, and listening to that song lets the memories of you and that person just kind of come flowing through? And if so, what's that song and who is it in memory of? Like, for me, for example, I'll start. Me, for example, one song out of many is In My Life by the Beatles, and it's in memory of a friend of mine who committed suicide, and it was played at his funeral, and every time I hear that song, I'll just, like, tears will be forming. I'm not, like, bawling, you know, weeping uncontrollably, but, like, literally tears come down. Is there a certain song for you guys when it comes to that?
Do you want to go first on this one?
It's going to be stupid. My stepdad died right when Sarah McLachlan's Eyes of the Angel came out back in 2000-ish.
Yeah? Oh, that's not stupid.
It makes me cry every time.
Well, I'm sorry you lost your stepdad.
My buddy that died right after I moved to Arizona, but we were best friends from, like, week one of freshman year of high school. We had 5 classes in a row together.
Hmm.
But that's everything from, like, 91 to 96.
Yeah.
We were inseparable. Mm. But there's no one specific song that makes me think of him, but that Arms of the Angel, because it was on TV with those stupid SPCA, and I just have to turn the channel every time that commercial came on, because, like, it was fresh. My stepdad had just passed away after 17 years of being married to my mom. It was just, I couldn't watch it. I couldn't listen to it.
I totally understand. I'm so sorry that you lost your stepdad. That's horrible. And that's not stupid. That's just, you know, it's a sweet song. Well, and it was
the song, the commercial, like, drove me nuts because it came on every break.
And it's like a 5-minute commercial.
It never went away.
It still comes on to this day. And it's like a 5-minute freaking commercial. So yeah, I get it.
All these, like, sickly dogs, and that's bad enough.
Yeah, right?
Puppies can be offensive. Yeah. Yeah.
We were just talking about that.
I feel like we're using the puppies with the
Send money, puppies!
To milk your cash out of you.
That's true.
Mike, what makes you think of the sad puppies?
No, so mine's an oldie, The Highwaymen, and Desperado's Waiting for a Train.
Oh, wow.
And it was, my grandfather was a huge Johnny Cash fan, so we used to listen to those albums over and over and over again. And yeah, those are some of my fondest memories with him. Was listen, just he let me smoke and drink when I was like 7. So I would sit at the kitchen table with him playing chess with a tiny little shot glass of Jim Beam whiskey and a pipe. And we would play that CD over and over and over again.
Aww, that's sweet. Yeah.
You know, the only like impactful death in my life so far has been my mom. She died 11 years ago.
Oh.
There's not like one specific song. She was a karaoke singer. You know, just frequented a Tombstone a lot. And she was like everybody's favorite. You know, she had so many fans down there. People that loved to hear her sing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Arms of the Angel, actually, is going to be, when we get together, but they'll have a song for my mom, they'll sing that one. My mom used to sing that all the time. But there's not, like, one specific one. There's a few, I can't even think of off the top of my head right now, besides the Arms of the Angel. Yeah, I just don't have, like, a real answer for that one.
Yeah.
I really don't have anything to that answer to that question. Pretty much everybody I know, they're all
Richard, you better have a favorite song. The
only thing I can think is back in grade school, down in 8th grade, he's kind of a good best friend of mine, He hung himself back in the day,
Aww.
So it's suicide, he still doesn't know how it happened, but his favorite song, it played at his funeral was Stand By Me, so I never forgot that one, so.
Yeah.
What about you, Ginger?
So, I guess for me, the only song I really have that reminds me of somebody that's no longer here is the song Zombie by the Cranberries. I had a friend in Washington State that we were hanging out a lot during the time that song was released, and so I had a lot of memories from that, and she just recently passed a couple of years ago, so that song totally reminds me. Otherwise, that's the only song that I really reminds me of somebody that's no longer here, but yeah, that one hits.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry for your loss of your friend as well. Well, I'm sorry you guys all lost very special people to you, best friends. It's not easy losing people. And yeah, I've lost just way too many people. But anyways, so you guys, I just need to say thank you so very much for joining me, taking time out of your lives. I know you guys are busy with work and family and other things. And so thank you so much for joining me this week. And I had a great time talking with you guys about Fading Point, and I'm so excited to be hearing that music, and I wish I could go on November 1st. And you guys, you need to go if you're in the area in Arizona or planning a trip to Arizona. Please go see these amazing bands, free coverage, cheap beer, kick-ass merch, including shot glasses. I'm a shot glass collector, so... But
send us your address. What's
you
doing?
You guys are so sweet. But yeah, seriously, guys, you guys are anybody listening. I really recommend going. I've only met Rich in person, but next time I go to Tombstone, I plan to meet all of you guys, and just amazing music, amazing people, amazing location, Arizona. Love it. And so anything else you guys want to say before we end this epic episode?
We want to thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for doing this and putting us on your podcast. And if people don't watch your podcast, fuck them.
Well, thank you.
They want to hear it. But the people that do watch it are going to laugh at it. They're awesome. So leave it there. You guys are awesome. Fuck those other people.
So cheers and happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, what a fun group of gentlemen. Seriously, I had such a great time talking with them. And again, big shout out to all of them for just spending time with me. And hopefully you enjoyed it too. Go visit them November 1st if you can, if you're in the area. Free is always good. Free concert, cheap booze, amazing entertainment, several bands. There you go. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They're all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? No need to lose any sleep over it, my friends. You can hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as iTunes, Deezer, Spotify, CastBox, Apple Podcasts, basically wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Brothers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and
I will see you next week. Rock on, yeah.